you know, encouraging American-made products and green jobs and not privatizing our national forests and all these issues that that are very critical to Oregon and to our country that are not being discussed. And so, you know, I'm trying to find receptive ears to putting together some sort of an organization of that nature. I think that that with the internet, it's very easy to take a poll and find out how, what a group, you know, wants to see happen.
Yeah.
And then come election time, you know, if we get our ducks in a row, we could have a chunk of change, and we could have a group of or a network of people that are willing to volunteer and go reach out to the public in a way that that money cannot. Because they can't, I mean, they can afford to put advertisements on all of our TVs, but they can't afford to put people out there on doors. They can't get volunteers out there.
Yeah, where they can find those?
I guarantee you of that.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, our time has gone very quickly, as it always does. So I'd like to thank you again, Shanti, for being on the air with us. We will certainly have you back again soon. But yeah, so my guest has been Shanti Llewellyn, and I am your host, Michael Cathcart. Have a great evening.
Thanks again, Michael.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KABU is gearing up to celebrate 50 years of community radio, and we need your help. Take the Big Events survey on KABU.fm and help us decide what kind of events you would attend or help build. Go to KABU.fm and click on the survey banner to help prepare for the Kaleidoscope of KABU, Past, Present, and Future, 50th Anniversary Celebration.
Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime, and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. The Uhuru Sasa Cultural Club is a club run by and for prisoners at the Oregon State Penitentiary in Salem. Club members hold annual events and sponsor programs. I spoke with Harold Jones and Jamie Henderson about the Young World Youth Panel, a program they co-facilitate that reaches out to youth in our communities. But first, Micah Murphy, the club's president, talked about the club and its activities.
So Uhuru Sasa was established in 1968 and was to develop our members culturally, vocationally, and educationally. A little bit about the club is we hold cultural events throughout the year. One of the events is MLK Celebration that we host in January, the Black History Month Celebration in February. We have our Juneteenth Celebration in June, as well as our Kwanzaa Celebration in December. And throughout the year, we also host other events such as talent shows, domestic violence seminars, poetry shares.
And can the community participate in these events?
Absolutely. We welcome the community to come down and get involved and be encouraged by what we do here as the members and just as adults in custody here at OSP.
So, Micah, I understand you are the new president of the Uhuru Sasa Club. Talk about the structure of the organization and how the members are elected.
So the organizational structure is broke down. We have a president, a vice president, secretary, a treasurer, and a meeting facilitator, also known as a parliamentarian. And within each of those five executive bodies, we also have subcommittees where we can have two club members underneath us to be trained and shadow us in those positions for upcoming elections. Elections are held every 2 years. We start off with the nomination in June. where members are nominated to run for executive body spots, and then we follow up in August with actual elections. And to be elected, you have to be a member in good standing, which means you have to have been in the club for at least a year. You have to have attended at least 50% of club meetings. You also have to be a member of good standing within the prison community, which consists of being an NCI level 3, which means you have to have had at least 18 months of clear conduct.
So what is your role as president?
My role as president is just to oversee the day-to-day functions of the club, as well as meet with administration if there's any issues between members and administration, just to make sure that everything is running smoothly throughout the club, to give the best service that we can to our membership, to make sure just, you know, that it's a well-oiled wheel and we're working smoothly.
And you have other programs in addition to the annual events, is that correct?
Correct. We have the Young World Youth Panel. We also have a USEF class, and we also have a mentorship class.
So we have two co-facilitators of the youth panel here, but talk about the mentoring and the USEF programs, Micah.
So our mentorship class, we focus on lessons of manhood, fatherhood, and being a better role model. We also focus on planning and goal setting with the adults in custody, trying to help them to strengthen the family unit by instilling principles of trustworthiness, reliability, and loyalty. So with the mentorship, we focus in on mentoring the adults in custody. The adults in custody consist of level 1 inmates as well as level 2 inmates. A level 1 inmate is an inmate who's had a misconduct or major write-up within the last 6 months. So we're limited to availability space for those inmates. And then level 2s are inmates who's been misconduct free for at least a period of 6 months. So we reach out to those, not just in our club, but also the general population, and give them an opportunity to learn how to be a better father, how to be a better uncle, cousin, brother, mentor, so they can take the tools necessary to go back into general population or to go back into the community once released and learn how to pass those on as well.
And what are some of the issues that the men come to the mentorship class with?
A lot of times it's just we get a lot of young men, first time in prison, late teens, early 20s, who maybe grew up without a father, you know, fatherless households, and they haven't had a positive role model or a positive mentor to show them how to become a man or how to stand on their own and become a leader and not be a follower. So as members of the club and facilitators of the programs, we try to reach out and lead by example in some of the actions that we interact and by the things that we do on a day-to-day basis. All facilitators, all executive bodies are level 3 inmates, which means that we've had to been write-up free, misconduct free for a period of 18 months. So we've taken opportunity to want to do right by ourselves. Nobody's forcing this on us to stay out of trouble, to toe the line and do what we want to do. We've taken that opportunity and that step within ourselves to do it. So who better to show these other guys how to do it than to lead by example than the ones that are facilitating the program? A lot of times when men come to prison, they still have those gang ties, those gang environment, that gang culture that follows them from the street into prison. So when they get here, they feel like they still have to be attached to those people or to those individuals or to that family that they so-called had before they got here. Our facilitator mentorship program, we have a wide variety and range of individuals who come from different cliques, different gangs, different walks of life, and they all come together and they share their stories, they share their experiences, and it's just a nice, positive, productive environment where they can open up, and where they might have been enemies or not got along on the street, they come into an environment where they open up, and by the time they finish and complete the program, now they're friends, now they're associating with each other, now they're finding a common bond to keep pushing forward together and showing unity, which is really what the club is trying to promote here inside of OSP. As African Americans, we're trying to promote unity and stick together and not be divided.
And what about the USEF class?
So Uhuru's USEF class, it stands for Understanding Self Equals Life's Foundation. And it's a basic principle that we teach our adults in custody and our members of who they were before they came to prison, who they are now, and who they want to be once they are released. So those are the areas that we focus on, and we try to give hindsight and build goals and just give them a firm foundation to stand on. So by the time they're out of the program, they realize who they are and who they want to become and give them opportunity to move in that direction.
And how long is the class?
Both for the mentorship and the Uhuru USEF class, they're 8-week programs that we teach. We offer once a week for 3-hour periods in the mornings.
Does the Department of Corrections staff ever recommend people, or how do people come to take these classes?
Well, it's one of two ways. We run programming in our Wall Street Bulletin, on our news channel as well. And another big way is through the correctional counselors here. Sometimes they might have a level one or level two adult in custody that they recommend the program to. And we get them by referral through the counselors. When the programs were first started, the counselors sat in on the programs and they witnessed it and they listened to what was being said amongst the adults in custody as well as the facilitators. And when they seen that the program was off to a good start and was able to be ran by adults in custody, they kind of backed away and they've allowed us to grow and mature into the program and set our own curriculum. And that's what we do now. We go through 8-week cycles with adults in custody and take 4-week breaks. And then we open up again with another anywhere from 15 to 20 adults in custody for every 8-week cycle that we have. So aside from our USEF and mentorship program, we're also reaching out to students and volunteers in the outside community to help us lead our social learning project. And Harold Jones here will touch a little bit more on our social learning project.
Harold?
So what we have is a social learning project, and what that entails is for USELF and mentorship classes, for the 8-week cycles, we've invited college students, professors, people in the community that want to be involved in the USELF or the mentorship class. We need volunteers to come in and co-facilitate along with us. We need people from churches, colleges, organizations, anybody who believes in the principles that we've talked about, that Micah spoke about with the mentorship and the USELF class, that want to get involved, that think this is a novel idea, that want to push this forward and help it grow and continue to thrive. We invite you to come be supportive of this process and be co-facilitators in these 8-week cycles.
And what type of skills are you looking for from people in the outside community?
An example like of a college student maybe, or somebody in a criminal justice class who needs to get the experience of coming in and working with inmates, or somebody who thinks they may want a career in working with inmates, or somebody who wants to volunteer their time and volunteer their efforts and has the passion to work with adults in custody and who wants to work with us and push forward for change and be a part of the solution.
Harold, how can people contact Uhuru Sasa?
You can contact the Uhuru Sasa Club through OSP Activities Department at 2605 State Street, Salem, Oregon, 97310. The phone number will be 503-378-2289. And you can send emails to our staff advisor. She works with us. She receives our emails. And that is Ms. Patrice Lanz, P-A-T-R-I-C-E, Lanz, L-A-N-S. And her email address is patrice.s.lanz@doc.state.or.us.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland, and I'm speaking with members of the Uhuru Sasa Cultural Club at the Oregon State Penitentiary. Jamie Henderson, you're the vice president of the Uhuru Sasa Culture Club, as well as the co-facilitator of the youth panel. Talk about the youth panel here at OSP.
Well, the Young World Youth Panel basically is made up of men that want to give back by trying to help the kids so they don't continue down the path that they might be on or continue down the path that we were on at one time in our lives. The kids will come in and they get to hear our stories. It's just a personal testimony of us about how we have messed up in our lives and how our consequences have not only affected us, it has affected our family and our community.
Are these youth already in trouble? Are they headed down the wrong path?
The kids are not in trouble. The kids may display signs to their parents or to their teacher or to their principal that, you know, they getting in trouble, whether it may be bad grades or hanging with the wrong crowd. And for whatever reason, the parent, the teacher, or the principal sees that and they want to kind of deter that, which deterring that would have them come in, sit down and hear our stories that we are men that messed up. And hopefully, you know, hearing our stories about us messing up in our lives, that they won't make the same mistakes that we have made.
Is it a scared straight type of program?
No, we're far from a scared straight program. We are a program that the men that are there, we care. We realize that we cannot yell at these kids to get these kids to understand us, but we try to talk and we try to relate and try to connect to the kids in a very, what I say, a passionate way. You know, it may sound funny, inmate saying passion, but that's how we try to work. We try to connect with the kids in a passionate way that, you know, we have messed up. and we're truly sorry for messing up. We try to talk to them to let them know that, you know, our mistakes have a nice ripple effect that has affected a lot of people, not just one day, not just 2 days, but years after we have messed up, you know, in a 30-second period, years later, people are still feeling that. So we just try to convey that to them in just the most caring and the most passionate way that we can.
Harold Jones is with us, and he is also a co-facilitator of the Young World Youth Panel. Harold, explain exactly what happens. The youth enter the prison here at OSP to meet with the prisoners.
The youth come in with their adult chaperones. We greet them when they come in. They usually sit down. We usually give them the cue cards and the curriculum and the questionnaire for the day. And we use that questionnaire kind of to prompt them to talk about the things that are going on with themselves. So we usually have adult in custody speakers, at least three of those, that will get up and speak on how the different topics may have affected them in their lives or how that topic may have helped them get to where they are today. One of the things I talked about at the last panel with education and goal setting was I asked the adults in custody, you know, how many of them thought they were going to go to college, and maybe two of them raised their hand out of eight. And I asked how many adults in custody are in college right now, and every one of us raised our hands because we were all taking college classes. And so just things of that sort where the youth can see that, you know, now we're trying to change, but had, you know, we made that decision a long time ago, we may have avoided a lot of the pitfalls and turns that led us here. So after we speak in the big groups, then we break into small groups. And that's where a lot of the work happens. That's where a lot of the breakthrough happens, is when we get into small groups. We have a few different modules that we address with the youth. We have choices and consequences module going along with education and goal setting. And then we have a gang violence and victims impact module. We have a drugs and alcohol and abuse module. We have a peer pressure and bullying module. We have self-esteem and family values and motivation. And in each of these modules, we've had to create a curriculum for each module that we can work on with the youth that can be relevant to youth in what's going on today and in today's society. Usually every panel, we have cue cards that we set down, and we usually ask the youth to write down one positive affirmation they can take home and look at, and one goal that they can reach by the next time they come back. So different panels have different things, and we try to use all of them to break through to youth and help them out.
So Harold Jones, talk about how you recruit the youth from the community.
So what I've done is I've reached out to a lot of the inner city schools and inner city programs in the Portland area. We reached out to SCI, Self Enhancement Incorporated. Also, we reached out to Madison Youth Football, Red Storm Team. We try to target urban youth. It's our first panel. We had a parent bring her son in. So coaches, teachers, counselors, facilitators, coordinators, they're all welcome to bring youth in for this unique experience. We implore you to come and be involved. The adults are not inspired to come in, but we want them to come in. We want them to see what we're doing. You know, the adults will get to see what's going on. And I think the more adults that come and see what's going on, I think the word will spread even more. I've been told by parents, you know, we need this. We need what's going on. This is big, and a lot of people don't know about it. Why don't more people know about it?
Jamie, one more time, how can people contact the Uhuru Sasa Youth Panel?
Well, our contact information will be the Uhuru Sasa Club, care of OSP Activities Department. The address is 2605 State Street, Salem, Oregon. The zip code is 97310. The telephone number is 503-378-2289. And our staff advisor that's in charge of us and in charge of making sure all of this happens is Miss Patrice Lance. And she will be the person that if you were to call the 503-378-2289, you will ask for Patrice Lance. Or you can send her an email in care of the Uhuru Sasa Club or Young World at Patrice.Lance@doc.state.or.us.
Jamie, how long does the youth panel run? And how many youth can you accommodate?
All of our panels will be on a Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. The counselors, whoever bringing the youth down, they have to be here by 5:30 to check in, to go through the process. And and we can accommodate from 10 to 30 youth, plus the people that's bringing them down too.
And how do you measure success?
Well, we've been running for about a year now. From the feedback that we've gotten from SCI, the positive feedback, the testimonials that we've been getting about how it helps the kids, it's been major for us. I mean, we came in this situation as adults in custody, and, you know, we really care. So if we can reach one kid, then I feel like we've done a great service, but we try to reach as many as we can.
Do they usually come more than once?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's recommended that they come more than once. We've done studies and we've done a lot of reading and research in sociology. We have been told that it works better if the youth come back and forth. So we don't want to just touch on the youth one time and then not have them come back and continue to work with us on different modules, because different modules may touch on different things. And so we want them to come in. We currently have a class that we're working with sociology students from Oregon State University. And in that class, we're getting a lot of assistance. We're getting a lot of support. We're getting a lot of feedback on our curriculums and how curriculums can hurt or how curriculums can help. And so in doing that with our professor, Ms. Michelle Enterbitson, we do a lot of positive youth development. And that's what it's about, positive youth development, reinforcement. So we're not just basing this on, we're just sitting in a room and talking. We're actually have a curriculum. We've actually studied this. We've actually took feedback and a lot of stuff from a lot of sociology papers and what the people who write about this stuff and put it in psychology books and youth development books, the stuff that they suggest, we try a lot of that stuff. So the kids come back, we want them to come at least four times. We would like for them to at least come four times so they can get a chance to run through at least four modules.
And Harold Jones, can you give an example of a time you felt youth panel made a difference?
Yeah, so as I said, we try to target urban youth, and one of our topics is victims impact, where in that case with victims impact, we don't do as much speaking, but we actually have people that have lost someone to violence come in. I believe that was a strong piece of our panel. Because I believe that kids see violence everywhere. They see violence on TV, they see it on cartoons, they see it in video games and music. Everywhere they go, they see violence. But they don't always get to understand that violence is just not final. You know, when you see it on the movie, it's final, and then next you're moving on to the next scene. But when violence happens in the real world, there's a ripple effect, and it affects many people. So what we did, we contacted Kimberly Dixon, I think from Portland Enough is Enough, that deals with the mothers of people who have been murdered and whatnot. And we just want to bring that home for the youth. So they came and spoke and they talked about, you know, the effects of their children being killed, how that affected them daily, how that put a hole in their hearts and how hard it is to continue on daily. And we did that so that the youth could kind of see that it's just not over. You get angry at somebody, you say, I want to kill that person. And then, you know, you want to beat them up. So we created empathy with these youth. We had a little girl that stood up and she had seen a violent act as a youth, and she had never told anybody. She said she was in fifth grade when she seen that happen. And, you know, she got up and gave one of the mothers a hug, and they hugged it out, and we had a moment of silence. And it's just sad when we see, you know, these youth that think it's normal to see violence, to see that something violence happens, and they just think it's part of their everyday life. And, you know, so she got to get that off her chest. She had been holding that in. I think she's in eighth grade now. So we get all kinds of situations and great stories, and you know, we encourage you to bring youth down, but, you know, they don't have to be in trouble to come up here. They don't have to be getting in trouble to come up here. Just us talking to them sometimes just gives them a understanding that it can take a moment for me to make a mistake and be here. There's a lot of people here who lived exemplary lives until one moment, and now they're here. There's a lot of people here who may have been in college, or this is their first time coming to prison, or everybody who commits a crime doesn't have a criminal mentality when they commit the crime. Some people just make mistakes. And so, you know, you can be on the greatest path in the world and one simple mistake can happen and deter your life, and you can be right here in prison. So We want to reach out to everybody, every kid that can get this opportunity, that can learn something from us. You know, sometimes just hearing our stories can touch them. It can help them stay focusing on track and not make a small mistake or a mindless mistake. So we don't want to classify youth as bad youth or good youth. They're youth. What we want to do is identify what's important to each youth, why it's important to them, and help them learn about the choices they're making in order to meet their needs.
And when you both release, what do you see yourself doing in the community to help youth?
So my release is in June. I hope to get out and hopefully help from the outside. Hopefully do some reaching out to some programs and getting some youth in here if I possibly can. I want to work with youth. I want to do a nonprofit. So in helping with that right now in our class for the Oregon State University, we have a couple of projects where we're trying to come up with a community outreach board that will include people on the outside that are passionate about helping with the youth, that can maybe go to schools and speak for the panel and get people to bring more youth in. And because, you know, people, you know, when they hear, oh, prison, when they, oh, there's some prisoners, you know, and they want to see your kids, you know, people get kind of alarmed. But, you know, if somebody can come and speak from the heart and speak from experience, then I think that that will take some of the fear away from having youth come up here. As far as anybody having any security concerns, we're never alone with the youth at any given time. We're never alone. We're in a visiting room where there's security staff and chaperones and everybody there that is participating. So we would just want to reiterate that. So we're working on different things. We're working on possibly asking for a website so that people can go to the website and get information. So if I can assist in any way I can upon my release, then I will assist in many different ways, because, you know, being adults in custody is kind of hard to do some of the footwork that may need to be done out there. So if I can assist, absolutely.
For me, I don't get out till 2028. So for me right now, this is all preparing me for what I want to do when I come home, which will be, I'm going to try to get involved with any kind of organization that works with kids, whether it's a Big Brother organization or any just community organization to help kids not be involved in gangs or that criminal lifestyle. That's what I plan to do. I also plan to continue my education once I get out, and I would like to start a nonprofit organization to help those kids who have had a parent die from gang violence. In my lifestyle, I have witnessed personally that if a kid's father dies during gang violence, you know, that really affects the mother and it really affects the kid. And I hate to say it, the kids sometimes usually end up following the father's footsteps. So I'm going to try to come up with some kind of nonprofit organization that where I can help a kid who has been affected by gang violence to pay for their college tuition, to give them a chance.
Micah, how do you feel these clubs contribute to the growth of the men here in the prison?
I feel that these programs and these clubs contribute a lot to the growth in these men within the institution. It gives us an opportunity and an outlet to do something positive, to do something different than to congregate on a yard or congregate in a chow hall or be stuck in a cell where you spend a lot of time spinning your wheels on your criminal mentality, where you're around other individuals who push for social change, who push for positivity, who want to educate themselves and carry themselves in a positive light. You know, here at OSP, this is one of the only prisons in Oregon where you're allowed to have culture war clubs, where you're allowed to have 11 different clubs, ranging from NA and AA to veterans, to Latino clubs, to Native American clubs, to athletic clubs. They don't offer this anywhere else. So it gives you an opportunity to be involved in a lot more, as I said, to keep you out of the negativity that goes around. As we all know, within prison, there's a lot of negativity around here, and it's easy to be consumed by it. Once that cell door opens and you step out into the general population, you know, some people take a chance and decide that I'm not going to be involved in that. I'm going to stay away from it. So how do I stay away from it is to stay involved in something that's positive. And administration here at OSP has given us an opportunity to be able to stay involved in something that's positive to keep us out of trouble. So that's what a lot of us do. We look forward to. So another project that some of the men here at OSP work on is a fundraising within the communities. For instance, the Flint, Michigan water crisis that they had, the men here raised $500 to donate to Flint, Michigan for the water, and it was also matched $500 by a program within Portland. So total, we sent out $1,000 to the Michigan area to help with their water crisis. When the Red Storm Madison football team football equipment was broken into and was stolen, we raised $500 through the membership here to donate to the football team to help them buy football supplies, helmets and shoulder pads and whatnot. And it just goes to show that the humanity that a lot of us men have here, you know, in giving back to our communities and giving back in ways that we're able to through these clubs is a very important thing. You know, a lot of times when men are sentenced or we come down with the time that we get, we're just demonized or we're felt like we're just criminals, we're bad people. But a lot of us give back in any kind of way that we can and positive. And those are just some of the ways that we conduct ourselves and we carry ourselves. And some of the things that we're passionate about is giving back to the communities that we may have victimized or that we may have damaged.
You have been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland and my interview with Uhuru Sasa Cultural Club members Micah Murphy, Harold Jones, and Jamie Henderson at the Oregon State Penitentiary. A special thank you to Tanya Gouchard at the Oregon Department of Corrections. Listen to this and previous shows at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Thank you to our engineers, Danielle and Michael. Good night.
Give to KBOO today during our end-of-year match. Starting November 1st and wrapping up December 31st, donations from all new and increasing members will be matched one-to-one up to $15,000 from the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Give an extra gift today or become a member, and your membership will be doubled to support independent community media and citizen journalism at KBOO. Thank you.
KBOO is gearing up to celebrate 50 years of community radio, and we need your help. Take the Big Events survey on kboo.fm and help us decide what kind of events you would attend or help build. Go to kboo.fm and click on the survey banner to help prepare for the Kaleidoscope of KBOO, Past, Present, and Future, 50th Anniversary Celebration.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Hard Knock Radio, so stay tuned.